Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that this broadcast will encourage your hearts as we share God's Word. Today, I want to have a message on angels. I did a teaching on angels, and today I'd like to bring a message with the notes and things that I had on the teaching, and I believe it will be a great encouragement to you, and a lot of things about angels maybe you don't know about or didn't understand, that today we can go over it, and it'll bless your heart. There are angels among us today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give us divine revelation of your Word. Teach us from your Word. And I pray, Father, that you help us to walk in your Word. Help us to hear the Word with the intent to obey it. And God, help us to realize your Word is precious and that you're not a man that you should lie. Whatever you said in your Word, you will watch over it to perform it. And Lord, that it will not come back void. And I know, Lord, that your Word will change hearts and your Word can bring life because your Word is living. And Lord, I pray today that if there be a man or woman that is not born again, that today you deal with them in your tender love and mercy and bring them unto salvation. And I pray, Father, for those that are bound by sickness or disease, that you deliver them, O God, set them free. I pray for the runaways and the children that are in trouble. God, send your angels all about them to protect them and bring them out of the bondage that they're in. Let them hear the name of Jesus, not just with their ears, but with their hearts. And help their moms and dads and grandparents, Lord, to do the right thing and to help them in their time of trouble. And Lord, we know what a heartbreak it is when we have children that have strayed and lost loved ones that are not born again. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to do and say the right thing. But we pray for the salvation of their souls in Jesus' name. We pray for those who are incarcerated today. God, many men and women are in prison today or in jails, and they need an encouragement. They need some hope. I pray that you send that into them today. God, I believe you for a miracle in Jesus' name. We pray for our country, Lord, that you reach down and bring revival in our land. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray, God, for a revival in our country. And we thank you that you hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to read from Acts chapter 12, and I want to start reading from verse 5. And this is talking about Peter when he was placed into prison, not because he had done anything wrong, but because it made the Jews angry because he preached in the name of Jesus. And Herod, who had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, he went on because he wanted to please the Jews, and he had Peter put into prison. But I want to read this verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want to stop right there. When this thing happened to Peter, the church prayed without ceasing. I'm amazed at the churches that I go to. I went to a church one time out in a place, and I gave the altar call, and just about everybody in the church came up out around the altar, and we all prayed together, and some received Christ. And the pastor told me afterwards, he said, I've been in this church he told me how many years he'd been there, and he said, I have never got one person to come to the altar in the whole time that I've been here, and when you gave the altar call, everybody came. How did you do it? I said, well, I guess the difference between what you do and what I did, I told them to get up and come, and you ask them. You know, sometimes you just got to tell people to get on up out of your seat and come on down around this altar. We got to pray. That's something the churches have gotten out of. When I came up in church, it was all right to go to the altar and pray. I think we need to go to the altar, go to the church, go to the front of the church, and get out and pray together. People today don't know how to pray. They think that praying together is something is bad. Or people think I've done something wrong if I go to the altar and pray. Well, guess what? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? We all need help. But this church came together and prayed for one thing. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered as touching one thing, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. And that's what they did. They was praying for Peter. And because the church prayed, I want you to hear what happened. Listen closely. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers therefore the door, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter was bound, sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And he was had keepers at the door. He was bound to two guards, and it was two guards at the door watching him. He was in an inner prison. But the church was praying. And then in verse 7, it said, "And behold," let me tell you something. I don't care what situation you're in right now, God can send a behold in your life. What does that mean? Something's getting ready to change. You might be chained up. You might be bound up. You might be in an inner prison. You might be in a little prison. You might be in a prison of sickness, of darkness, of discouragement, or whatever, financial trouble. But behold, God can send a behold in your life, and that's what happened. The angel of the Lord came in, and a light shined in the prison. Let me tell you something. When God can send a behold into our situation, at this time, Peter became a recipient of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Are there not all ministering spirits sent forth to them who shall be heirs of salvation?" You see, when you're born again, we have ministering angels that when we're heirs of salvation, we have angels all about us. And in Psalms 34, verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver him." And in other words, we read of Peter's deliverance, we must recognize the power of this angel that came in, that Peter had angels all about, but because the church prayed, the angels were released to go in and set Peter free. These four guards that were about Peter, they had no hold on him when the angel came in. And I love the part of the scripture here. It said, when the angel came in, that a light came in, a shined in the prison. Any time there is a God's delivering power is always accompanied by his light. God, when he shows up, there's going to be light. You're not going to stay in darkness. And Peter said, "I know of a surety now that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and the expectation of the people of the Jews." Let me tell you something. Get a picture of what Peter was in. He was in prison, not for doing wrong, but for preaching the gospel. He was put in a dark dungeon, a prison. He was chained to two guards. He had two guards watching him. He was behind iron gates. And iron doors, but when the angel came in, this is what he said. He smote Peter on the side and he raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And then when he did what he was told to do, the Bible says the chains fell off from his hands. The guards were still there, but it didn't stop the chains from falling off Peter's hands, and it didn't stop the light from coming into his prison. I don't care what the devil thinks he's got you chained up. I don't care how dark your prison cell may be at this time. It will not stop the chains from falling off of you and the light of God coming into that cell where you're at right now. I'm telling you from the depths of my heart, from the depths of my spirit, that you have angels all about you, and God is able to deliver you. I don't care what kind of prison you're in right now. I don't care if it's literally, physically, mentally, spirit, whatever. God is able to send an angel in and set you free. And the angel told him, said, "Gird up yourself. Bind up your sandals." In other words, we're getting ready to move. When God brings his light into your life, you get ready because you're going to move. You can't stay in the same place you're in. And he said, get dressed. Get your garments all about you because we're going somewhere. And I love this part. The Bible says when they came to the first door and the second door and the third door and the iron gate, all of them opened up. One thing my husband and I preached in a lot of prisons, and one thing you realize when you're in a prison, you don't open a door in a prison. The guards open the door. They hit a button and it clicks and the door opens. You have to wait. You can't just push on the door. You have to wait until you hear that click before you can go through. And also something else that you have to learn when you go into prisons, there's a yellow line in a lot of the prisons, and the guards can't walk past that. Go beyond that yellow line. They have to stay behind the yellow line. There's a certain place they can walk. There's a certain time they can go through a door. It's all operated by the guards. But let me tell you something. When God comes in, I don't care how many yellow lines have been painted in your life, and I don't care how many buzzers that the people might have to push to open a door for you. When God wants a door open, child, it's going going to be open. The angel of the Lord didn't ask a guard to push the buzzer and open the door. He didn't ask the guard, would you please bring your keys in here and unlock his door for us? Can we get a... No, when God said you're coming out of prison, you're coming out of prison. Whether it's a prison of sickness, a prison of death, a prison of bondage, of discouragement, depression, or a little prison, it makes no difference. When God opens a door, it's open and you're going through. And let me tell you something. When they came to these doors, that Peter walked through, and he said, listen, I know of a surety God has sent his angel. Listen to this. Guards, bolts, bars, and prison gates disappear at angels' presence. The dungeons shine like palaces. And in their presence, no place can be so dismal, no pit so deep and dark, no cell hidden nor fortress so strongly guarded that the angels cannot access if a child of God be there. I don't care how deep the pit is. You think about Joseph. They threw him in a pit, but God brought him out. They put him in prison, but God brought him out. He was lied on in Potiphar's house, but God brought him out. Nothing so dark or so dim or so dismal. The devil will paint you a picture and see that there's no hope for you ever getting out of this mess you're in. There's no hope for a change. But I'm telling you, God can send his angel. Just like God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion for Daniel, God can do the same for you and do the same for me. Nothing is too hard for our God. And God set Peter free. And when he went back to where the church was praying and he knocked on the door, they thought they seeing a vision. When you pray, you got to know that you're going to receive. And God brought him out of the prison and set him free. It was God's delivering power. And God didn't do nothing for Peter that day that he will not do for you and for me this day. We serve that same delivering God. He can send his angels about us, and God can make a way for us. And you know, if you read in Acts chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, you read again where the Lord sent his angel into a prison to deliver his children. And this time, it was the apostles. And the scripture says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. This life, I love that. The angel came and set the apostles free in the night. Time in the dark. Darkness don't stop the move of God. God come in even in the dark time, and again he caused his angels to open up the prison doors, and they brought them forth, and the angels told him, says, go on back up into church and preach, tell them the words of life, tell them how your God come down in this prison and set you free, and can't no prison door hold you back, can't no prison bar stop you. When God gets ready for you to come out, you're coming out. I don't care if it's at midnight. I don't care if it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't care what it is. I was preaching in a jail down in Lexington, North Carolina to some women. And I've never seen a jail like that. They were stacked in there like cordwood. I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't even want my dog to be pinned up in that place. And the women was just stacked up on the bunks, and I stood on the outside of a little walkway that I had to preach. And I preached to them about hopeless cases out of Mark, how that there's no such a thing as a hopeless case when Jesus shows up. I preached about Legion, and I preached about the woman with the issue of blood, and I preached about the little girl that had died. But when Jesus came in, a change came in, and that's what I preached on. And I just looked out across, and then when I gave the altar call, those girls come down off the bunks and they give their heart and their life to Jesus. And I went back to the truck stop where we were parked with our mobile chapel. And when we had friends over from the truck stop, and truckers come in, and we were all just enjoying the fellowship. One with another and talking about the goodness of the Lord. And all of a sudden, a young lady came bursting through the back door of the chapel, and she looked all around at everybody in the chapel, and then she zeroed in me, and she said, "There she is." And I said, "Can I help you?" She said, "I was in that jail today when you preached, and I knew there was no hope for me ever getting out because of what I'd done. I knew my situation, that I wasn't going to get out." But she said, "Before you got out of that jail cell, the jailer came in and handed me a paper, and by some miracle, my situation had been turned around, and they set me free. And I told the people that come to pick me up, don't even take me home. Take me down to that truck stop. And I want to tell that woman that she was right. With God, there's no such a thing as a hopeless case. And I come by to tell you today, people, with God, there's no such a thing as a hopeless case. That dungeon might seem to be dark, and the doors might not seem like they're ever going to open in your marriage or with your children or with your finances. It makes no difference what it is. But I'm telling you that God can send his angel and he can bring the light in and he can open up the doors and he can set the captives free and he can set you up in the house of God and you can tell people what he's done for you. Can you do that today? Here we read that no amount of doors, darkness or man-made law can stop God's angels, and I want you to know that by the Lord sending his angel, he encouraged the apostles. How many of you know that we need encouragement? How many of you that I'm talking to today, you say, "Blondie, I need an encouraging." I'm telling you right now that the Lord can send his angels and he can send us encouragement. And that the Jews, he also told the Jews that they weren't fighting against man. They were fighting against God and his anointed. And let me tell you something else. He gave the Jews an opportunity to repent for what they had done. But I don't know if they received it or not. But I'm telling you, God set the apostles free. And yes, they went and they preached the gospel. Well, you say, "Well, what did Paul say about the number of angels?" In Hebrews 12:12, he says they are innumerable company of angels. In other words, they cannot be counted. And John, when he wrote, he said, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 thousands in Revelation 5:11. I'm telling you that God is not limited of the angels that he can send. And let me tell you something else, that God is on our side, and we are heirs of salvation. And he has sent angels to minister to us. You remember Daniel, as I told you before. And Daniel, God has sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion. And you remember in Genesis chapter 28, Genesis 28:12, Jacob had a dream. And he saw a ladder from heaven to earth. And the top of it reached into heaven. And that scripture says that he saw angels of God ascending and descending on it. God will send down his angels. And I truly believe in this last days that we're living in and the evil that we're seeing across this land, I believe we're going to see more activity of angels in our lives. But let me stop right now and tell you something. You don't pray to angels and you don't dispatch angels, for it is God. The Bible says that God has given Jesus all power over all the powers of the earth. It's him that has the power. And even as the resurrection of Jesus, angels sat on the tomb on a stone that was rolled away, and his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And I love this part when in 2 Kings 6:16-17, when Elisha, the enemies of Syria had surrounded Elisha, and when his servant looked out, he was afraid because he saw the enemy surrounded him. And Elisha got up and he said, "Lord, open his eyes that the young man might see." And the Bible says that God opened up this servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all about Elisha. If we could just get our eyes open and see that there's more with us than with them. If we could just open up our eyes and see that our God has angels ready to dispatch for his children. When his children are in trouble, he's coming after us. Don't you be afraid and don't you be discouraged. You remember when Elijah was about to take a 40 days journey and how he was strengthened, that the angel of the Lord came and baked him a cake and touched him and he gave him something to eat. And God will send his angels about. Christ was strengthened even in his time of suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22 verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And let me tell you something. Even the angels came in Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom at Eve, and they warned Lot that he was to get out of the country because there was a judgment coming. And what did Christ, when we read about what Christ promised the overcomers in Revelation 3:5, he said, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and his holy angels." I'm telling you, there are angels all about us. And there are many, many other accounts in the Bible about the visitation of angels. And people, I want you to know, yes, there are angels among us, and I truly believe as we draw nigh to the coming of our Lord in the end of times and this evil generation that we now face, that the heirs of salvation will see an increase of angel activity. And it says, "Fear not, for there be more with us than with them." But the Bible also tells us this, that we are to be aware that we are be careful that how we entertain strangers, because we entertain sometimes angels and we don't realize that they're angels. I know one time me and my husband, we had a gospel tent and we tore it down one night and put it all in our van and had our chairs and our PA system and the tent and the poles, everything was in this van. It was packed up to the top and we had two seats in the van. And I was in one, of course, my husband was driving, and he was in the other. And we stopped at a place in Danville, Virginia, to get gas that night. And as we pulled in, this young man came up and asked, would we give him a ride? He had a little small gas can in his hand. And he asked, would we give him a ride down the road to his vehicle? And my husband told him, said, I would love to, but mister, I just don't have any room. We're packed clean up in our van." And as that young man walked away, God spoke to my husband and told him, said, "I'll send him to you. Pick him up." So my husband called him back, said, "Sir, come on." And we moved the stuff around and I slipped over on the doghouse, the motor part of the van, and the young man got in my seat and we pulled on the highway and we didn't even go 200 yards down the road. He said, "Stop, let me out here." And we thought, well, golly, how strange. You could have walked out. And when we pulled off the road to let this young man out, a car, I know, going over 100 miles an hour, came up this road on our side of the highway and was going that fast. And if we had been going down the road at the appointed time, he would have hit us head on. And God spared us and others because he went on up the road and got off. God had us get out of the way or we'd have been hit head on. I know that was the angel, because when we turned to look at the man that we had just let out, he was gone. There was no sign of him. I know God has sent an angel of protection. Many times God has sent you angels. And the Bible says in Psalms 91, 11-12, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot upon a stone." This year, 2015, is the 40th year of my ministry and my husband's ministry of Trucking for Jesus. He's been gone 4 years now. He went to heaven, but I tell you, I'm still carrying on, and I know there's angels all about me. I know that I'm not in this battle by myself. I know there is more with us than with the enemy, and I know that I need to encourage myself in the Word of God, and God will not leave us, and he will not forsake us, no matter where a child of God is. God will reach down and deliver. And I come to encourage you today, don't lose hope. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Your body may be hurting. You may be in pain. Your heart may be breaking into a million pieces and you think things are not going to get any better. But I come by to tell you, just hold on. I love that old hymn, "Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to to God's unchanging hand. Life is filled with swift transition. Oh, it is. Things change, but God does not. He stays the same, and He loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And I want to encourage you today that if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that today, right now, you'll receive Him into your hearts, and you'll ask Him to come in and to be your Savior. Because one day we're going to stand before our God, and the decision that we've made here, whether we've accepted Jesus or reject Him, will determine where we're going to spend eternity. It'll either be heaven or either it'll be hell. The choice is yours and the choice is mine. And I pray today that you'll choose Jesus and let God work on your behalf. Let God move. Let God touch you. Let God strengthen you. Jesus loves you. And I always remember what Billy Graham said, he said, you sum the whole Bible up in four words, and I love it, Jesus died for me. And that's the message, you are loved, Jesus died for you. He'll in no wise cast out any man. The other night I had a young man, he said, Blondie, I'm just trying to get good, I'm trying to do better. And I said, let me tell you something, God don't put us on probation. Once you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, you're forgiven. He don't put you on probation. He'll teach us and train us. And yes, He corrects us when we do wrong, but we're born again children full. God don't have stepchildren. God don't have half children. We're born into the family of God. And God loves us all, and He wants us all to come unto repentance. And today I pray that you'll make Jesus your Savior, and that you'll come to the full knowledge of how much He loves you and what He wants to do for you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him bless you. Can you believe God for a miracle? There used to be an evangelist. He was on TV, and he had a tent revival. And I love this man. His name was R.W. Shambach. Some of you might remember him. And we would see his trucks come through the truck stops hauling his tents and all. And on the back of his trucks, on the back of his trailers, he would have, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And I love that saying that Brother Shambach had on his trucks and trailers. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I went to a Methodist seminar one time, and they asked all these preachers what faith was, and they gave long definitions and went on and on, and then they asked a little boy, said, what is faith? And he said, well, I guess faith is just taking God at His Word. And that's what I want you to do right now. Take God at His Word. He said He has angels for you. He says He has help for you. He said as He loves you. That's faith. Take Him at His Word. God bless you today. Thank you for listening to the broadcast, and I pray that you'll write me, and if you have any prayer requests, send them to me, and I promise I'll pray for you. I'm praying for you, those that have sent letters in. I still keep praying over you, and I ask that you pray for me, that I can keep on with all my broadcasts. I'm responsible for these broadcasts each week. I have three 30-minute TV broadcasts in California and some on the East Coast. And then I have three 30-minute broadcasts, and I have four 5-minute broadcasts every week. I'm responsible for 10 broadcasts, but you know what? I'm not stopping there. I'm going to believe God that He'll give me more broadcasts that I can preach the gospel. Will you agree with me? Will you pray with me that God open up more doors? I was walking across the living room floor one day, and God said, launch out in the deep. And I began to expand this part of the ministry. Pray with me. Believe with me. Stand with me. And I will with you, because there are angels among us. Have faith in God. With God, nothing is impossible. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week, and have a marvelous day in Jesus.